Hello, America. It's your new favourite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two forts of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant. That's a G. Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe. Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Texans play the Lions Sunday night football, and they've been struggling of late. They are 6-3 on the year, but I feel like we all believe this is a team that could be doing a whole lot more in their wins and is coming off of a loss against the New York Jets that was pretty rough. So they've had a long week to get ready, given that they played last Thursday a week ago. They got a couple more days before they play the Detroit Lions, and I was struck by something that C.J. Stroud feels can help the Houston Texans get back on track. This is C.J. Stroud at his press conference yesterday.
Getting back to having fun, you know, I think there's a time where we were like, you know, just looking around, seeing, you know, guys being hurt, you know, and kind of, I won't say feeling bad for ourselves, but, you know, just like understanding that, you know, we didn't have everybody that we needed. And we really just had to, you know, lean on guys. And I feel like the short week was hard to do that, you know, and but now, you know, we're back to having fun at practice and enjoying each other's company and, you know, just understanding, like, you know, we got what we need and you know, we just got to play better and just execute better.
Got to have fun. I mean,
football is fun.
Football is fun. This is true.
Winning's more fun, but football's fun.
Football is fun, especially when you're winning.
Yes.
How do you win? Well, you have to have fun before you win. Mm-hmm. This was not the only time C.J. Stroud talked about fun yesterday. C.J., when asked about what he could improve on, he continued, I need to have more fun.
I would say I just got to have more fun. You know, I got to realize, you know, like, God's put a great talent in me. And, you know, I'm not playing for anybody else. First and foremost, I'm playing for him. I'm playing for my family, then my teammates, you know, and I got to remember that. I got to remember, you know, my priorities and, you know, like, I can be joyful while, you know, suffering as well, you know. So that's something that I plan to do, just have more fun, you know, be joyful in those moments. Because, you know, when you're in these trials and tribulations, you know, it teaches you things about yourself and it teaches you to lean on him. And so that's what I plan to do and just, you know, lean on his strength. And, you know, and he's never forsaken me yet. So I plan, you know, to keep going and just have fun while doing it. You know, it's things I can get better fundamentally wise for sure, you know, just getting the ball in my hand and things like that. But ultimately, I believe it's just having fun and being joyful while doing it.
Talking about him, he means the man upstairs there. That's what he needs to work on the most, having fun.
While he's getting his ass kicked. Because teammates are third, also.
Some people are into having fun while getting their ass kicked.
That's true.
I believe that is a subplot of the TV show Billions, starring Paul Giamatti.
I mean, I get what he's saying, because I do. The Texans from week three, I can't remember when Tytus Howard and Laramie refused to speak to the media after a win. But since very early in the season, they've not been a joyful football team, it seems.
Where's the joy?
Like, it doesn't seem like they're, even when they were winning, that like things were hunky-dory and everything was fine. So I don't think he's wrong. Also, would probably be a bad look, though, like if you're playing the Jets last week and you're terrible and you're all having a good old time on the sidelines.
For sure. But if they get back to having fun, I mean, having fun at practice and enjoying each other's company, these are things C.J. Stroud has said. Maybe they can get back to being what we all thought they could be this year. And look, the Texans, they like their acronyms, right? We've got SWARM. SWARM, for those who don't know, special work ethic and relentless mindset. Sort of forgets about the E. It makes work ethic one word.
It's a mentality that's been a defining trait of the Houston Texans football team for the first 2 years of the D'Amico Ryans era. So maybe it's time for a new acronym. FUN!
What are you looking for, SpongeBob?
You know what? I think I sent the wrong link in. Damn it. Damn it. What the hell? That sucks. Sean, can you look up the SpongeBob fun song? I could have sworn that I linked this in the rundown. It looks like it's there. Anyway.
Fun. F is for friends who do stuff together. U is for you and me. N is for anywhere and anytime at all.
Down here in the deep blue sea.
F is for fire that burns down the whole town. U's for uranium.
No,
bombs.
No.
N is for no survivors.
See, that would be me.
Plankton, those things aren't what fun is all about. Now, do it like this. F is for friends who do stuff.
Never! That's completely idiotic.
Here, let me help you. F is for friends who do stuff together. U is for you and me. Try it!
N is for anywhere and anytime and all.
Down here in the deep blue sea.
So there you go. That is the song Fun.
Yep.
From SpongeBob SquarePants. And that's what CJ Stroud is looking to incorporate into the Houston Texans locker room. And FUN could be an acronym, too.
Yes.
F is for friends who do stuff together. CJ Stroud, Tank Dell, they're friends.
They are friends.
You, what would you stand for?
You and me.
Underachieving?
Fantastically
not anymore.
Underachieving. Hey.
Hey, it's not fun.
That'll NFL build. Team.
Field goals under 90 yards.
Goals.
That's a lot too. The U has to stand for something that can be positive and help us get the Houston Texans back in the right direction.
Friends.
We have friends for F. The U, this is the word that we need to figure out. Something that we can get this team
and it
doing.
Can't start with the word under.
No, it can't.
Those are all negative.
It implies negative.
Well, underdog isn't that.
Friends, underdogs.
Underdog
now.
Sunday night football.
Yeah, now.
Yeah.
Now they're underdogs. They were hyped a couple weeks ago. Now for underdogs.
N for no naysayers. FUN, friends, you, underdogs, and no naysayers.
Okay.
So we got a new acronym for your beloved Houston Texans.
No negativity.
No Ooh. Negativity. I like that.
Gotta stay positive.
Mm-hmm.
Takes everybody.
For sure.
The other things that D'Amico Ryan said.
A lot of things like that. So that's what the Texans are looking to do now.
Friends, unless negative, since they don't like us when we're negative.
Maybe. We will take your suggestions. 713-780-3776. We're struggling here, as you can tell, to come up with an acronym.
You is tough. I'll be honest.
Friends.
U-boat?
Because
we're like a submarine underneath the surface, and no one understands how good we are.
Yeah.
Some people say FUN is an acronym for fantastically unbelievable nonsense.
Whoa. That's FUN's not nonsense.
That's Bobby Slowick's play calling sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So Bobby Slowick, FUN.
FUN. He is a FUN offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
You never know who's going to throw the ball.
You never know when he's going to have a ridiculous speed sweep to Steven Sims that goes for a 2-yard loss.
Friends united.
We'll let everybody else take care of us. We are our creativity's not working. But Stroud wasn't done talking about FUN. He was asked what led to this revelation that I need to have more FUN. Here is your quarterback at yesterday's press conference.
Really, just prayer. You know, just really just spending time with God. And yeah, I think the 3 days off was very nice, you know, to find time for your soul, you know, your body, you know, and your mental, you know. So, yeah, I believe, you know, that's where I kind of came from. And, you know, there's so many things going on in this world, you know, and we're called to be light. You know, it's entertainment business, you know, and we're called, you know, to entertain. But you can also have FUN while doing it. And, you know, I think that's something that, you know, as a team, we can do better, is just have more FUN celebrating and you know, just being like, you have a smile on your face right now. Like, you're having fun while doing your job, so we can do the same, you know?
I appreciate his positive mindset. I truly do, and I'm trying not to be a sarcastic a-hole, which is very tough for me to do when we're talking about a team that's underachieving and the quarterback comes out and says, we just have to have more fun. I want to believe him. I'd also like to think that the man upstairs is perhaps focusing on more important things than hanging out with C.J. Stroud talking about a Thursday night football game that the Texans lost to the Jets on national TV. And the big man upstairs saying, C.J., you're not having any fun out there. Speaking to him from a burning bush.
Texas storm! I mean, maybe they're working on like their touchdown celebrations.
Well, interesting that you say that, because CJ was asked about what they could do to have more fun. And again, listen, I'm not on that sideline. I'm not in that locker room. And I want to believe that this could work. But here's CJ talking about what they could do to have more fun if they're not necessarily winning.
In a away game, you know, I feel like, you know, we're a little dead in the second half because we don't have we don't have the crowd with us and whatever. So I believe, you know, that we just honestly got to keep the swag, keep the juice in the sideline. We got to be more pumped up. Everybody got to be standing up, rooting each other on, and, you know, celebrate. I think that's one thing we can do better is just have better celebrations. You know, you see other team, you know, when Garrett caught their touchdown, their whole sideline's up celebrating. So, you know, we just need to feel that energy. You know, when the defense get a big stop, we on the field, you know, like making them feel like, man, like y'all boys balling, because they are, they have been, you know. So you got to be both ways. And, you know, I definitely think that can bring, you know, more juice and more energy.
Do these guys not like each other?
That's an interesting question. Where'd you get that from?
Like, we got to celebrate each other when they're when they're playing great. Like, we see CJ getting hit all the time and not being picked up by his teammates. Like, they're talking about having fun together.
Joe, you're cooking with gas all of a sudden.
Like, do they not like each other? Like, is there, like, I don't really understand, like, why, like, we're having to talk about celebrating your teammates after they get a fourth down stop.
No,
or having fun and, like, coming off the field because they're balling out. Because
if you have,
like, I don't really get this.
Well, no. You got energy on the sidelines on the away game, so no one's cheering for you when you're at Jet Life Stadium. You know, you got Fireman Ed.
Well, no,
occasionally.
No one's cheering you at home either when you can't score.
Hey. Sometimes you just need somebody to do a celebration dance after you do something good. Not you don't do the celebration dance. He does a celebration dance for you, and that shows you that what you're doing is valued out there.
The handshakes with every single running back and wide receiver.
Well, yeah.
He doesn't have one with all the
defensive players. But CJ can't do it with every single player. CJ's got a handshake for every player on the team, but there's got to be other players on the team who are on the sidelines who are going to be jumping up and down when good things happen, okay? We are going back to high school. We are going back to college. It's funny. Some teams in college, you can tell that the coaches are forcing them on the sidelines to be jumping up and down. That would be so annoying to do that for an entire game. You're probably going to wear yourself out a little bit. Would be really funny if somebody had a Bill Gramatica-esque injury that took place while it happened.
Or had to tap out, too much celebrating. Oh,
there could be that, too.
Normally,
yeah.
It's the walk-ons that do it.
Yeah, right.
Unlike the kickoffs where they're waving towels
exactly.
And spraying
well,
water
then what's
bottles
the practice
stuff?
Squad for? Once
that
again,
true.
Where's Case Keenum?
But they can't be dressed up. They can't be dressed up on the sideline. I guess yeah. They can be on the sideline in street clothes. Anyway, listen. Okay, I sense a little cynicism from you, Joe. I sense a little cynicism from you, Sean. And here I am.
I see agreement in that room.
Yeah, because when you're talking this much about we need to have fun, we need to support and love each other, that's where I raise my hand and go, wait, so are you guys not supporting and loving each other right now?
Yeah.
Is that what's happening? Because this isn't just like randomly being brought up by CJ Stroud. Like, no, this is in response to like what can things change so you don't lose in embarrassing fashion to the Jets again or lose in embarrassing fashion to the best team in football on Sunday. And he's going, well, we just need to like each other more. We didn't really show each other that we love and care about each other. Where it goes, wait, so that's what's missing? That's not what's happening right now?
It's because you guys just don't understand. If they were on the sidelines acting like yell leaders from Texas A&M, Giggum, if they were doing that, there might be a little more juice for them, a little more wind in their sails in the second half.
I just find this fascinating, honestly.
Offense needs to have more fun, and they need to celebrate the good things that happened. Now,
If they score any touchdowns.
Yeah, no, this is the problem now, is that the good things need to happen for them to celebrate.
Yeah. 5-yard gain?
Hell yeah.
Spin the ball.
First down? Hell yeah. Yeah, I don't know how many people played the football video game. I think it was NFL Game Day, I want to say 99 or 2000, and you could do a dance after every single play. So you could throw an incomplete pass, and your guy would go on the, like, could actually start breakdancing if you pressed the right button. And I love that. Like, I'm Steve McNair. I would play with the Titans all the time, running out of the pocket. Steve McNair throws a ball out of bounds, incomplete, and you could do a dance at Steve McNair afterwards. They need to do a little more of that, a little more choreographed numbers, perhaps, to get things going. You guys just don't get it, okay? This is what's going to wake them up. And I know what you guys are all thinking, hey, well, they actually have to do something positive on offense. No, you have to manifest it by saying, like, hell yeah! That CJ, that ball was good. It doesn't matter that it bounced off Tank Dell's hands. That ball was good.
I mean, it doesn't matter if they're down by a bunch. They all do a celebration every time they get a first down.
That's true.
I mean,
they're a little more emphatic now.
Yeah, maybe
both Sean and Joe are pointing their fingers back.
Yeah,
and forth.
Everyone. They all do this.
It's like a little bit of lasso kind of thing.
Like,
and then
they spin in a circle.
Yeah, with their fingers up.
But now
yeah.
they have to do it with a little more gusto. Okay, yeah. It doesn't matter
or
if
everyone
looks,
does it.
It doesn't matter if it looks a little metro.
Yes.
Okay,
11 guys and the sidelines. First down.
I don't know. I don't know if this is going to help again.
No, it will. It will.
I just think that on Sunday night, this is really simple. Okay,
fun.
They need to
have fun.
Turn off the noise from the PA guy in the stadium, and when it's third down, instead of the PA guy telling the fans what to do,
play Eric Prince.
Texans swarm. It needs to be so loud on the sidelines. Just you need to hear the players telling Texans swarm, and they're leading the chants instead of the PA guy. Then I'll believe that they're having fun.
That is an interesting question that you've raised, if they all like each other. I have a hard time believing that they wouldn't, but whatever. I will entertain the question, but there is an area of the team that is having fun, in case you didn't know. There is a part of the team that's having fun. Ladies and gentlemen, Jimmy Ward, Texan safety, he's back at practice, and he believes the defense is having fun, while he might not be sure about the offense.
CJ was saying he wants this team to have more fun. They want to enjoy themselves. You guys need to enjoy yourselves more. As you've been watching the team, have you noticed a lack of passion? Have you noticed a lack of anything like that this team needs?
I can't tell. I'm looking at the defense. looking at K4 and looking at Petrie. I don't know. And them guys always hyped up. CB and guys always amped up. So, but I get where he's coming from. I just feel like... just on like every side of the ball, like offense, special teams, and defense, I feel like we just need more juice. So that's probably what he's saying.
Okay. So there you go.
And that does make more sense, like what CJ's saying. Like they just need more juice, like more energy consistently out there. Not just fun, like what we think of SpongeBob and fun. Which now that song is now stuck in my head.
It's for friends who do stuff together. U is for you and me. N is for anywhere, anytime at all. Down here in the deep blue sea, the deep steel blue sea.
We should have made our own version.
No, honestly. From the 614, you guys are funny. You spent 10 minutes belittling and mocking the players' press conference. Then wonder why players don't like the media. Yeah, I don't give a bleep about that. Really don't. They're not my friends. They're not supposed to be my friends. So that's the first thing there. Number two, I mean, this is a team that has some real issues. And they're talking about how if they have more fun out there, that can fix a lot of the issues. I mean, that's crazy. It is crazy. I hope it works. I truly do. But it is crazy to say that.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever wondered like why the players don't like the media. Like
we know.
Like they're not supposed to like the media.
I'm a sarcastic a-hole that some think is gay.
Like I'm
I don't
sorry,
mind
like,
that.
I don't need to go to the locker room and pretend like these guys are all buddy-buddy to prevail my budding career. Mm-hmm. Like I don't care if they like me. They're not supposed to like us.
No, they're not supposed to like
they're actually
us.
Literally, that's the opposite of what the media is supposed
to
do.
They're not supposed to pay attention to any of us.
Yeah.
Also,
they got these rabbit ears up now.
Guarantee you, they do not know the show exists.
No.
I can say with 100% certainty.
And honestly,
they do not know that we exist.
If they know,
they know that Paul exists.
Do they? I don't know. I mean, I'm just
they're
there.
Like, they are there. No, they're like, who's that gay reporter that comes?
You don't think like in the locker room? You don't think
he's always meat searching?
Yeah, the meat watcher.
You don't think like after the if they win on Sunday, you don't think you'll get like one like, hey Paul, like the mustache?
No, they don't know my name. They have no idea who I am. They're like, who's this jabroni?
I think
I think CJ knows most of the names.
I don't. I'm not there enough for him to know. Okay. I think D'Amico knows most of the names, but again, I'm not there enough. I rarely go to the D'Amico Ryan's press conferences.
Gotcha.
I usually go in the locker room after the game.
I think he has a better chance of getting a compliment for the mustache than he does a "Hey, Paul."
Hannah McNair liked my mustache. She told me that.
Did you say "Hey, Paul"?
No. She. But I introduced myself.
That's what I'm saying. You're more likely to get the. Like the mustache than you are them to know your name.
Exactly. Yeah. Bill O'Brien knew my name, for what it's worth, but that was a while ago.
Yeah.
A long time ago in a galaxy.
But if you
far,
keep
far
the mustache, then they'll just know you. You have a better chance that they'll know your name.
Mustache guy.
I don't know if I can. My godson's. I did a FaceTime with my godson, and he didn't like it. He was freaked out. I don't want my godson to not want to look at me over Thanksgiving. Just a thought.
I mean, it really just comes down to.
3-year-olds are tough.
Yes.
He knows.
Amen.
I mean, I guess if you're not dating, it's hard to get a good read on it. Like if you're not dating for the rest of the year, just depends on what the ladies think if you keep the mustache or not.
Yeah, we'll see.
It matters what you think, Paul.
And that, you know what I need to do?
Have fun.
Swarm.
I need to have more fun. Oh. I need to have more fun out there. If I was having more fun, you know what would happen? More potential wives. No, not like that. Not a harem. Not that. I just mean more potential dating success, so I can finally find happiness and stop being miserable and making fun of CJ Stroud talking about how he wants to have more fun. And by the way, I want him to have more fun. I am truly not trying to belittle him, but I do think it is funny that this is something that yesterday they talked about, not just CJ Stroud, but Jimmy Ward as well. I don't know that it's going to result in more success, but I do wish them well. I truly do. I want them to win on Sunday.
Then they'll have more fun if they win.
They will. They certainly will. Winning on Sunday Night Football.
Also, scoring more points will help.
Mm-hmm. It will. It will help. Also, getting the Lions offense off the field on third down, that'll help.
That'll help.
Tough Lions offense.
It won't be fun if they're like running offensive linemen out as wide receivers trying to score.
Don't say that. Don't manifest that.
You know, the Lions.
They do that.
And they seem to be having so much fun.
Yeah. Oh, God.
They are the epitome of fun.
What if the Texans make the Lions have fun? What happens then?
Well, then we'll be having not fun.
The Lions have. That's certainly true. The Lions seem to be having more fun than the Texans. So to CJ Stroud's point, he's probably watching the tape and he's like, oh, yeah, these guys are goofing off. But I would like to just tell CJ Stroud, hey, just because the Lions offense is goofing off, that is not a reason for you and Bobby Slowick to start doing the same thing. Bobby Slowick having fun is the kind of fun that only a couple of people understand, you know? It's like making a joke and maybe one person gets it because of a dated reference. Paul, are you talking about yourself? And that is something that is not going to necessarily make things happen for everybody else. And specifically, I'd point to the Texans offense and CJ Stroud. But hey, fun. Fun is back. And so is the joy. He's Joe George. I'm Paul Gallant. We got Sean Mapes behind the glass. Up next, Dak Prescott's injury sounds very painful and makes me cringe every time I read it. You'll hear what it is next.
ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dak!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time. Taking a look at what's going on Texans practice, because we're all hoping that Nico Collins will be back with the team. I have yet to see anything about Nico Collins. I do not believe he is practicing. In fact, he is not. Neither is Will Anderson Jr. Kenyon Green also out of practice, but we all expect him to miss the rest of the year. So, not a great sign if you want to see Nico Collins back on Sunday that he hasn't practiced. Also a bad sign that Will Anderson dealing with an ankle injury still, Joe.
Yeah, let's see. It looks like Cody tweeted out some quotes. Cody Stutzy, that is. He said, Nico is, he's doing good. We'll see where he ends up. On the status of Will Anderson Jr., same with him. He's doing well. We'll see where he ends up.
That's what D'Amico Ryan said about those two yesterday, correct?
Oh, was that yesterday?
That was yesterday, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But still, I mean, like, he's not giving us anything. All I'm saying is, based off of the practice availability, it does not look like they're going to be back on Sunday. And I mean,
those, have to assume they're out.
Those are two of your best players. So. Yeah. Not looking great, but hey, have fun.
Yeah.
Have fun. Just a little fun. F is for friends who do stuff together. U is for you and me. N is for no Nico Collins. Oh, we're fucked! Sorry, I can't say that. down here in the deep steel blue sea. Yeah.
Yeah.
Texan swarm.
Swarm.
Tank Dell, have fun, though.
Dak Prescott's groin has apparently swarmed off of his bone. This is a very... This injury just makes me cringe.
Not fun.
Yeah, I honestly didn't know
this
that.
This is not fun. Dak Prescott is dealing with a partial avulsion of his right hamstring, which means part of the tendon is pulled away from the bone. Okay, it's not a groin. It's the worst kind of hamstring injury possible. So he's going to miss more than 4 weeks.
Yep, so Cooper Rush or Trey Lance, come on down for Monday Night Football, where the Texans will have fun against the Dallas Cowboys.
That game...
That seems like it's going to be fun.
That game could be fun.
That game could be fun.
It could also be very not fun. Yes. But it could be fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like the Texans have a history of losing to really bad quarterbacks for no reason.
On the road.
On the road. Last season.
It could be fun, though.
That was a last season thing. This year's fun.
Also...
Honestly, what's the difference between Zach Wilson and Trey Lance?
If there's anywhere I want to play... The Cowboys. It's in AT&T Stadium.
That's true.
A lot of Texans fans will show up there.
Also, I don't think they've won a game there yet.
I don't think so either. I went to AT&T the last time. I think the last time. Maybe it wasn't the last time. But one of the last times the Texans and Cowboys played. And it was all Texans fans. Back in 2014, I think.
What's the bigger event at AT&T? The Friday before? Tyson Paul? Or Texans Cowboys.
That's
an 18. Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson.
Oh,
is that AT&T Stadium like 3 days before the Texans?
Good
game?
Question. I don't know. Are you going to watch it?
We'll be at La Berge that Friday night.
Okay.
So we might. If it's on,
I'm not going to be pulling it up on my phone.
Okay. So like, if it's on at the book, I mean, it's on Netflix.
You wouldn't buy pay per view for a Jake Paul fight against Mike Tyson?
I don't know if it's pay-per-view or if it's just straight up on Netflix.
I don't know. Because the UFC, it's on ESPN Plus.
Yeah.
But it's on ESPN Plus and you have to pay, whatever, $80 to watch. So I don't know if Netflix is doing this.
I think this is just on Netflix.
Okay. Okay, I did not know that. Well, if it's just on Netflix, then I might watch it. Might. Keyword might. Paying attention? Probably not. The reason I wanted to watch a fight like this would be to see Mike Tyson fight again. Because... I've never seen Mike Tyson in his prime, but that's clearly not going to happen. So the other reason to watch is because you hate Jake Paul.
Yeah, I will say.
And I don't hate Jake Paul enough to watch this.
I did see a photo of Mike Tyson. He looks kind of scary.
Well, he always looks scary.
But like, he kind of looks like ripped a little bit.
Well, he's always looked ripped
a
little bit.
He also looked ripped and had all these crazy good-looking videos, and then they had to postpone the fight because, he was walking with a cane.
Yeah. He's 58 years old.
He looks great. Okay. He's still going to fight someone in their 20s.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. Around the NFL we go. So, Wink Martindale, no longer the defensive coordinator of the New York Giants, but you might have remembered the weird back and forth between he and Brian Daboll and the Giants offensive coordinator. What's the Giants offensive coordinator's name? There's a big old beef, I guess, involving, though, the Giants coaching staff. And ultimately, Daboll won the power struggle, and Martindale is gone. So now Martindale's with Michigan, and he was asked if he's having fun coaching at the college level. Here's what he had to say.
Sure. I mean, it's like I haven't sat down and thought about the long haul. When you're 61, you just try to think about tomorrow. I'm glad that I'm here. I love the players that we have. I think that it's obviously a different game, but it's a lot better than being in some places that are 2-7.
Like that.
I like it too.
I like that.
He knows specifically the Giants record.
And then Except for the fact that Michigan sucks. That's the only problem.
Yeah. I was going to say, what are they, 4-4? 5-4? Yeah,
correct.
I mean, that translates, if you're Michigan, that translates to about 2-7 for an NFL team. I don't know if he can quite do a victory lap. Or he can do a victory lap on how much the Giants stink, but not really on how well his units do.
I mean, Oregon just hung 38 on him. And then Indiana, they play Indiana this weekend. So, see how that one goes.
Yeah, hey, stop worrying about the Jets or the Giants. Start worrying about undefeated Indiana.
Yeah, you play the 8th-ranked team in the country this week. Focus on Indiana.
Indiana has to be like a 10-point favorite.
I would think so.
Michigan just cannot score.
14 for Indiana.
14?
Yep.
In Bloomington, though, right?
Embleton.
Yep.
Damn. Defending national champions, 14-point dogs against Indiana.
Unbelievable.
I also like how he threw in Bloomington, right? Like, that's like,
it's like, where is that?
Hey, yeah. What happens in Bloomington stays in Bloomington.
Because no one talks about
it. No one watches the games, right? Exactly. It's the tree falling in the woods conundrum. All right, continuing to go around the NFL in the 10-minute drill. I saw this pop up, and look, the Texans went a different direction this offseason. But remember Jonathan Greenard, who played for the Texans last year, is now at the Minnesota Vikings, and he had 3 sacks in the Vikings-Texans game earlier, where the Vikings won in rather convincing fashion. Blake Cashman, also a Texans linebacker, he moved on to the Minnesota Vikings. And I'm curious if any of you guys have a sense of FOMO, because there is an article on Go Long by our friend Tyler Dunn, the football Substack, titled, "Through the Storm, Blake Cashman is the Minnesota Vikings maniac in the middle."
More with Cashman than Greenard, because I still really like Danielle Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as I like Azeez Al-Shaair, he's been hurt. It's like, but he's been really good. But I did like Cashman a lot. I think the two guys that left the Texans did a really good job replacing them, and probably got better players. But we're just not seeing as much production. So I don't have like a ton of FOMO, but a little bit.
And there's a little bit too. Brian Flores might be just like the best defensive coordinator
Correct.
In football.
Yeah.
And so he is like absolutely maximizing these guys. Now you could say, D'Amico Ryans, weren't you the best defensive coordinator of football before you became a head coach? Can't you maximize the guys as well? But yeah, I'm not quite sure because the replacements for them, like Joe said, have been mostly like what you want other than availability for Al-Shaair. I don't have that much. FOMO.
Okay.
My biggest FOMO is on Noah Brown.
Yeah, it would be nice if Noah Brown was here, given all the injuries they're dealing with, and considering how much he carried the Texans' offense in a couple of games.
Yeah.
Apparently, Blake Cashman's origin story is that the New York Jets tried to work him back from an injury too soon because there was miscommunication. They didn't understand he was on the injured reserve, which they put him on, and they were pushing him hard in rehab, and eventually he got pissed off and left. He like left practice because they were trying to rehab him. This is what it says. They pushed Cashman too hard in his rehab. He did not appreciate it. His body wasn't ready for the strain. And then someone said something that questioned my work ethic and my character, and I snapped. He shouted. He cursed. He grabbed his keys and stormed off to the exits. Finished. It was a new character. He was finished with the New York Jets. An angry Blake had taken hold. It's a great article by Tyler Dunn. Dunn writes great pieces.
He's really talented. So the Jets front office, this is such a Jets
they
story.
Had him.
So they didn't tell their training staff that Blake Cashman was on the IR.
No.
So they're trying to get Cashman to come back in like 3 weeks.
This is insane.
And he's like, no, I literally can't play till next season.
And
they're like, no, dude, like we got to get you ready.
This
and
is
he's
insane.
Like,
and they're calling,
he's like, no, I literally can't play.
They're calling him a soft boy for it too, because he said that they were calling out his work ethic. And yeah, no, can't do that.
He tore his labrum. He re-injured this. He had suffered the injury already in college. He knew he could keep playing, but the Jets just put him on season-ending IR. Nobody told Cashman who made the decision. He still rehabbed. He was penciled into the starting lineup, and he had torn his groin in this game, went on the IR, then he suffered injuries to both hamstrings. Then, so he just basically went through absolute hell in New York.
What morons.
It seems like they did a very poor job with his health, yes.
What a dumb organization.
They are really bad.
Came with a text loss.
I was going to say, they figured it out for one night. Even then, they had a guy drop a ball before walking into the inside.
He couldn't understand how a $1 billion company could function with such a Mickey Mouse communication at the top. God, that is fascinating. Anyway,
it's also probably true for so many sports teams.
For sure.
Where you're like, wait, this team makes like $200 million a year from TV sale, the TV money that they get. And like, this is how all this gets made. Like, remember a few years ago or... now, like, a decade ago, when Elvis Dumervil, like, didn't send a fax in time, or, like, he sent the fax on time to opt out of his contract, but no one read it, so it just, like, he was just stuck or something, or he couldn't, like, exercise his option. Like, it's crazy stuff gets in the way of these teams that you think should be way above, like, what normal companies have to deal with.
I mean, the one that will always stand out to me is 2 years ago, the NFL player survey, when we found out that the Arizona Cardinals were making their players buy lunch at the facility.
That too.
like
the Bengals, make their players buy Gatorade.
Yeah,
that, like,
Gatorade.
Blew my mind. Yeah. I was like, hold up, like, I thought we were in the NFL, like, lunch everything free. Was free. Yeah. Like, yeah, I was like, food's covered. Gatorade's covered. And then to hear it wasn't for teams, like, that just stunned me.
There you go. He's Joe. I'm Paul. We are better than the Jets training staff. We hope.
Sean, than the training staff.
The training staff. We think we would do a better job of knowing if our players are on injured reserve. Up next, do the Texans have too many rabbit ears? And on top of that, I do want to play a piece of audio from maybe my favorite person in sports right now. Galan and Georgie's Joe and Paul. Sean behind the glass. Stay put.
ESPN. 97.5. This is Galant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
I do sense that the Texans have some rabbit ears right now. They know that people are pointing the finger at them, that they are criticizing them, and we played the audio a little bit earlier in the show. It's generally coming from D'Amico Ryans, your head coach. He talked about how there's a narrative that they're not a good team. He talked about how people are in an uproar over not trading at the trade deadline. All I'm going to tell them is just do not pay attention to what's being said on the outside. Clean it up from the inside. And people, they're not going to appreciate a 6-3 record when your team has been giving, I would say, a C-plus grade on the season with B-plus talent.
Yeah, I think the kids said that they'd say they're mid.
This is a
mid football team.
I think they're a little more than mid, but I get what you're
know.
Saying.
I think they're mid.
Sean, are they mid?
I think they're
cap.
I think they're a good team. I think they're a good team that's playing mid. And so if you're a good team that's playing like a mid team, like, you're still gonna get away with some stuff. You're gonna get away with the Jags game. You're gonna get away with the two Colts games. Mm-hmm. Oh, but God. Like, you're not really good. I'm not ready to say they're playing good. I think they're mid
for sure.
They're playing mid.
True that.
Yeah, but you are.
They're Riz Kings that are playing mid. I think we can all agree on
there's
that.
There's not a lot of Riz out there. There's especially not a lot of Riz. Out.
But yeah. Fun equals Riz. I think
fun can lead to Riz.
I mean, these candy paint red.
That'll help.
Jerseys and helmets.
You know what they call that?
Riz.
Drip.
Thank you, Sean. You have Riz if you got drip.
Gotcha. Yeah. But not always.
No cap.
You can't have drip but not have Riz.
Well, I think you can have Riz without drip.
You can have Riz without drip. And you can have drip without Riz.
Yes,
they're not
mutually.
You could have one or the other. Yeah,
yes.
I think if you have drip without Riz, though, everyone thinks you're an a-hole and is secretly,
yes,
if not outwardly, laughing at you.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Everyone's like, "Look at that guy. He has no Riz. Look at all that drip for nothing."
Why'd you point at me when you said that?
I didn't. I pointed at Joe. Actually.
whoa. Well, Joe has more drip right now.
I mean, he I does. Was gonna say.
Well, like, you both have.
No, I have. This is not drip. I took too long to get ready, and I put on the quickest amount of clothes I could.
I feel like if you have drip without Riz, then maybe it leads to people asking you questions you don't like.
Like what, Joe?
What quick question could that be, Joe?
I don't know, Paul. What happened last night?
For those who don't know, once again, while I was out and about, someone approached me and asked me if I was gay. It happens a lot.
So I think it means you have good drip. But they're not sure, so maybe the Riz is the issue.
I think it's gone
off the rails.
Or they're not sure who's risen up.
There's a clean girl aesthetic.
And I don't want that one.
I think
veto button, ejecto cito.
I'm not saying I have a clean girl aesthetic. I'm saying, Joe, that I think I have a pretty boy aesthetic. I think I look too pretty. I don't look manly. I don't look handsome. I look pretty.
That one's too far.
What? Then I'm pretty?
No, the clean girl thing.
I'm not saying I have it. I'm saying that the pretty boy aesthetic is mm-hmm. that is what I have.
Gotcha.
I think this is what is creating all of it. Like my beard is very generally manicured. My mustache right now, pretty manicured. I pluck my eyebrows. I put on moisturizer. I put acid on my wrinkles, you know, as one does.
Really?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Do you have bad wrinkles?
I'm in my 30s. I'm just trying to prevent them.
Oh, okay.
I ain't doing that Botox stuff. I ain't doing that.
Yeah.
But a lot of people do. You'd be surprised.
Yeah. A lot of people are capping.
Unless
about
someone
it.
Wants to sponsor us with Botox.
I mean, gladly.
We'll do it.
I would advertise diapers. I'll start wearing diapers.
Like Emmitt Smith?
Paul and Emmitt Smith.
Emmitt Smith's doing diaper ads?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
Doing Depend commercials.
Well,
and
hey,
he does it like proudly.
Get that bag. Is he saying that he has to?
We run those, don't we? I swear
we might have run them.
No way. Yeah. All right.
That might have been how we talked about it.
I would like us to find this. In the meantime, it is Galan and George. He is Joe, Sean by the glass. I am Paul. I'm fascinated. Emmitt Smith was my favorite player growing up. Continuing to talk about a little thing that we like to call sports. I am in love with my favorite basketball team's head coach. And even though the Celtics lost to the Golden State Warriors last night, the Warriors are 7-1. What the hell? And they booed Steve Kerr because he benched Jason Tatum all Olympics. Joe Mazzulla is my favorite. Sorry, Joe. I have a favorite Joe. It's Joe Mazzulla.
Here's the thing. If my son's name wasn't also Joseph,
mm-hmm.
then Joe Mazzulla would be at the top of my power ranking.
Be close to the top of the Joe list.
So he's number 2 on my list now because of what we're about to play.
So, Joe Mazzulla was asked about, I guess, Jaylen Brown's injury status last night and if he'd spoken to him, and this is just an all-time exchange.
Joe, just confirming no Jaylen Brown tonight, and if you have an update there, if you've talked to him about it.
Is he out? He's out.
Have you been able to talk to Jaylen about the injury?
Mm-hmm. I talk to him every day.
What were those conversations like?
I mean, we both kind of mumble when we talk, and then we just shake hands and move on.
Did he happen to mumble about his hip at all?
I couldn't understand him.
Do you have any sense if that's going to linger for a while?
The mumbling or the injury?
Both.
Oh. I don't. I mean, he works hard every day trying to just come back. I think it's a day-to-day thing, so we'll see how he is when he wakes up tomorrow and then just go from there. But he's in every day working at it.
Here's what I can't figure out. Is he that witty or is that who he is where this is something you could just do straight-faced without any thought about how funny this actually is when we all watch it from afar?
I think he just might be like the funniest guy in the NBA. He does everything so straight-faced all the time. That, like,
something
he
else.
Is either just so, like, socially unaware of how awkward he is, or it's so clearly a bit and intentional. Like, the mumble exchange there, it's clearly, it has to be intentional. Because the reporters know. The reporters know that if they keep asking follow-up questions, they're eventually going to get a real answer. Like they got the answer they wanted. It took 4 questions to get there, but they got it.
When he goes, the mumbling or the injury, that's where I'm like, you have to be joking, right? Like that, or not joke, but like that has to be like you're playing into it at this point. I do think that he was trying to be evasive, and then he saw the opportunity to be like, let me just keep
screw with people,
keep pulling on the string until they force me to say, yes, he's out and working hard to come back.
He's what Mike McDaniel wishes he was. Hot take. Mike McDaniel wishes he was this cool.
And a winner.
That's true.
That helps. That
the winning certainly does
all
help.
All this goes, like, it should go without saying that if this guy was a bum, this would not be as funny.
People thought he was a buffoon a couple of years ago.
Exactly. And that's why I think it's just who he is. Because
behind him.
People want him fired after a year.
Not me.
And, like, that's just who you are. Like, if you win, none of it matters.
Yeah.
You can be this guy.
I feel like
we get a kick out of it.
McDaniel is like a little bit, he's a different genre of this like weird awkwardness. Because he's not like standoffish awkward. He's more like, yeah, I'm the cool coach awkward.
While we're on weird awkwardness, Daryl Morey was the cool GM. Did anyone see this exchange on First Take where Stephen A. Smith explained why Rockets owner Tillman Fertitta moved on from Daryl Morey? Seems that he wasn't supposed to say this on the air. Pretty funny.
I have to tell you this because this will feed you. They're not going to be happy.
I'm going to say something not.
They're not
going
to be happy that I revealed this, but I didn't find this out from the parties involved, so they're just going to have to get over it. One of the things that led to Tillman Fertitta wanting Daryl Morey out of Houston is that they would literally lose a playoff game or a series, and Daryl Morey would walk up to him with the analytics and saying, "See, we actually won."
Oh, like, my God.
Are you kidding me?
Oh my God.
He's respected because of his analytics and obviously knows the game of basketball.
How about winning
something? But he hasn't won. He hasn't won a championship.
That's my favorite analytics.
I know, Paul, you and I are on very different ends of the, like, tanking is kind of okay spectrum.
We are, yes. I don't think it's okay at all. This loser,
Daryl Morey.
Ooh.
And honestly, we all believe it. This goes right along with the 61-page report.
Yeah, that they did with the Warriors. This is why I never liked them.
Yeah, this is like...
The Harden, Morey, and Morey and I have interacted before, and I personally like Daryl Morey.
Same.
But Morey did a lot of things where it felt like he was getting people on his side in local media, and I always saw through it a bit. Like, I mean, does he really want to be my friend? No, he's just being nice.
No, but like, if you don't know, like, they would invite like the local media into, and like, I never got to be part of this, but I've heard about it. Like, they would invite the beat reporters and wannabe writers like into the press box,
yes,
into a suite, and they would have like nice food and they'd have conversations basically to say like, you're never going to say anything bad about us. I was part of this. I like Daryl Morey. I got phone calls from Daryl Morey saying, hey, man, couldn't say that on the radio. Please go back and delete it. And we had to because we were partners.
Jeez.
But like,
because
he would get fined. Because he would say stuff that was going to get him fined.
Like the thing with China.
He would say things
that he would get fined for tampering.
Wow. Like on his weekly radio segments.
Yeah. Oh, so, like, he would say something about like a player. And he's like, I'm going to get fined for that.
Yeah.
So he would call us back and ask us to delete the audio.
I can't say that I want Daniel House.
Yeah, like it was a regular occurrence.
That's annoying.
We would go back in, delete a segment, to the point where I just kind of knew what to delete.
Mm-hmm.
And like, we're not putting that one in there.
Damn.
Yeah, because there's like very strict rules about what you can and can't.
Josh Innes has these stories. Like, it goes back with Morey. This was the thing at the flagship there for a while, where like, he would just put his foot in his mouth. And like, so like, he's a great guy, but this is a...
I hated that. And the pamphlets that he put together, like, after they lost with all the different calls. I'm glad that drove Tillman Fertitta crazy, because I remember hearing about it when it happened and just thinking to myself, this is such pussy stuff. I mean, you lost fair and square. You can blame the refs all you want. Refs screw up a lot. But generally, it evens itself out over the course of a game. And it's one of the reasons that I really could never get into the James Harden and Daryl Morey era, even if there were some good memories that they created for a lot of people. There's just something about them, and that's part of it. So here, that is like very unsurprising to hear that from Stephen A. Smith talking about why Tillman Fertitta wasn't maybe the biggest Daryl Morey fan.
Yeah. Also, I thought it was interesting. I thought Daryl left.
Daryl resigned.
To
spend time with
and
his
Stephen
family.
A. just said that he got rid of Daryl.
The writing was on the wall.
It was more mutual than we thought. Or it could just be a Stephen A. like not being 100% airtight on the verbiage.
Now, him being like told to leave and then, you know, trying to like basically say, I'm not fired, I'm just spending more time with my family, and then taking a new job 30 days later actually probably makes more sense than Daryl just being like, I don't want to be here. I'm going to go spend more time with my family than take a new job. So, interesting.
Very interesting. He's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean behind the glass. Galana George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We turn the page to take a look at the Texans' big, bad opponent on Sunday. Roar! That's a lion roar. And that's what the Texans are playing on Sunday. They're 7-1. They're scary. They're big and they're bad. How good are they? We'll discuss. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two-fourths of the British podcast No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.